This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton joins me live in studio, local author, cartographer, online at rickbritton.com. How are you, sir? It's good to see you again.
Pretty good. Good to see you, too.
And we're going to be opening up the phone lines here in just a few seconds, play a little Jefferson quiz, give away some Domino's pizza, 977-1070. Again, 977-1070. You know how we play. I will help you win. Give me a call. Set them up, 977-1070. What do you got going on?
Well, just want to tell everybody that a week from today, on Thursday the 27th, I'm giving a talk at Mickey Tavern, and it's this new series. We call it a lecture and a lunch. So I'm giving a lecture on Edgar Allan Poe's time at the University of Virginia. So that starts at 11. It's $25, but that includes, of course, that great chicken lunch, black-eyed peas, stewed tomatoes, peach cobbler, all that great stuff over at Mickey Tavern, and that wonderful fried chicken.
I could go for some peach cobbler right now.
Oh, peach cobbler. Their peach cobbler is
just fantastic.
With
some ice cream some whipped cream on top.
Oh, yeah. Ice cream and whipped cream? Both of those things on top?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Good
stuff.
What do you mean?
It's really good stuff.
Look surprised.
Well, see, you just ran, so you can get away with that. See?
I did do a little running.
Yeah.
I put in my run this afternoon.
There you go. So you could have some with all that stuff on top. But anyway, folks need to call over there. It's 977-1234, so easy to remember.
There you go. Today we continue our conversation about Thomas Jefferson's greatest hits. Before we get to the first subject, let's play a little quiz and go to the phones. Caller, what's your first name? Oh my goodness. You're supposed to stay with me. 977-1070. We've got a line open if you want to play the quiz. What's the first question we got for him?
Okay, question number one today. What building was the inspiration for the rotunda at the University of Virginia? Was it A, the Pantheon, B, the Parthenon,
C,
the Tuileries in Paris? Yeah,
it's tricky there because you got those two words that sound alike.
Yeah, Pantheon and Parthenon are kind of similar.
977-1070. We'll do it for Domino's. Thanks to our good friends at Domino's Pizza. 977-1070 is the phone number if you want to play. And your chance for some free pizza. How does that sound? Does it sound good enough? Does it sound yummy? That's what I want right now. I want pizza and peach cobbler. Caller, thank you for ringing in. What's your first name?
My first name is Keith.
Keith, how are you? Happy little Friday. Are you ready for this? Ready for this question?
Yes, I am.
All righty, Rick Britton, let him have it.
All right, Keith, here it goes. What building was the inspiration for the rotunda at the University of Virginia? A, the Pantheon. B, the Parthenon. C, the Tuileries.
It is the Pantheon.
It is the Pantheon. Good job. Good job. I thought I could trick you because, like Coy said, those two words are fairly similar.
Pantheon
and Parthenon.
There's a difference between the Pantheon and the Parthenon.
Big, big difference.
Keith, how did you know?
Oh, I just know what each one looks like. The Parthenon has the angled roof and all those columns.
Right.
Pantheon has the circular roof. I just know it from my, studying history in my younger days.
Have you ever been over there? Been to visit Italy?
No, I haven't.
But you'd like to do that. Wouldn't it be great if I was giving away a trip to Italy
instead of pizza?
Great, I know you're not.
But that's a little bit of Italy. having some pizza.
You're right. So we'll give you a little taste of
good.
There you go.
We'll give you a little taste of Italy with some Domino's. Hold on a minute, Keith. Have a wonderful afternoon, and thank you for calling in. Channing, he's on line one. Hook him up with some Italian pizza.
That's right.
Thanks to our good friends at Domino's. And, of course, there is a difference. The Pantheon, which, of course, means was the first temple that they built to all the gods, hence the word pantheon.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the Parthenon is that big rectangle thing.
That's right.
With all the columns all the way around.
That's right. And the rotunda is actually half scale of the Pantheon. Therefore, one half the area, according to Jefferson, and one quarter the volume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. We've got another question for the folks.
I do. Absolutely. Name the expedition that was not dispatched into the Louisiana Territory, the one that was not dispatched into Louisiana by the Jefferson administration. A, the Freeman and Custis Expedition. B, the Dunbar and Hunter Expedition. C, the Oliver and Biseglia Expedition. Hey, no laughing.
977-1070 is the phone number. You have three choices, and I'm going to give you three opportunities to win. 977-1070, that's the number here for the WINA studios. We'll take the first caller right as they come in. Caller, what's your first name?
Donna.
Donna, happy little Friday. Hold on, and Rick's going to repeat the question for you, okay?
Donna, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, name the expedition that was not sent into the Louisiana Territory by the Jefferson administration? A, the Freeman and Custis expedition. B, the Dunbar and Hunter expedition. C, the Oliver and Biseglia expedition.
I am inclined to go with C because I don't remember reading anything about Biseglia in the
book. You're absolutely right. And Coy gave it away by laughing.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
I had this image of Leon and Mike in a canoe.
They're two of the sports guys
like
here at WIA.
Yelling at each other.
With headgear and sports.
It's two of the sports guys. Yeah.
Donna, hold on just 1 minute. We're going to hook you up with a little trip to Italy here from Domino's Pizza.
There you go.
Channing will hook you up. We're talking with Rick Britton online at rickbritton.com. Our continued series conversation about Thomas Jefferson's greatest hits. And we begin with the House of Burgesses.
Yeah, that's right. Last week we started off, we talked about the dredging of the Rivanna. That was in 1765. Some of the many local titles that he held here in Albemarle County that folks might not have been familiar about. Then in 1768, after getting out of William and Mary and, of course, reading the law under George Wythe, his great mentor, Jefferson was elected. And when you think about this, it's pretty amazing. At the age of 25... You know, he was elected to the House of Burgesses, 1768, and then he took his seat down there in Colonial Williamsburg in 1769, the very next year. And then he served pretty much until the war began, 1775. Kind of amazing, one, that a fellow so young, when you consider some of the other people who were in the House of Burgesses, representing the freeholders in Virginia, it's just kind of astounding. His father had been a member of the House of Burgesses representing Albemarle County, but of course his father was not elected until well into his 40s, in his late 40s. So there's a great comparison between the dad and the son. You know, the son being elected, you know, he's still a shaver at 25. When you consider some of the other people in the House of Burgesses, like I mentioned earlier, Patrick Henry and, of course, Jefferson, while a student at William & Mary, had been to the House of Burgesses to hear Patrick Henry speak, known as the Great Orator, of course. George Washington was representing the Northern Neck in the House of Burgesses. The other member from here, from Albemarle County, was Dr. Thomas Walker. So there was a guy that it was of his dad's generation and actually the executor of Jefferson's father, Peter Jefferson's estate, and one of Jefferson's great mentors here in Albemarle County, the father of Kentucky, the discoverer of the Cumberland Gap. It's amazing when you think of Jefferson at 25 walking in and then being a part of that assembly. It's pretty darn amazing.
Yeah. A very young man. And I'm not one of those who has written about Jefferson who buys for 1 minute all this talk about, oh, I hate politics and I want to get involved.
It probably
frustrated him and disappointed him as it does anyone in public service. And yet, he gets into it when he's 25, and he spends the rest of his life engaged in public service.
Right.
I mean, there was something about it. Close to
40 years.
There was something about it that really drew him in.
Well, that's one of the ways, being a lawyer and then getting into politics, is one of the ways you get ahead in life, you know, in colonial Virginia. And then getting into that company of men and rubbing elbows and making all of those contacts.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways you get ahead in life. And there's Thomas Jefferson at the age of 25.
And as a young man, he also wrote something when he was a member of the House of Burgesses.
He sure did. But let's save that for later, for just a moment down the road. He starts making an impact. He's kind of a quiet guy. He doesn't, and we'll see this all the way through his public career. He's a quiet guy. He's not a public speaker. He doesn't do all that well in crowds. You could call Thomas Jefferson very bookish that way. He's fairly reticent, keeps to himself. But what he does really well is when he gets into committees, he's a little bit more outgoing once he gets into a smaller group of people. And then, of course, as you alluded to, when he sets pen to paper, that's when it really comes out. But early on, he gets on to the Committee of Correspondence for Virginia. And so he's one of those organizations he's in that organization that's corresponding with the other committees of correspondence in all the other states. So early on, it's kind of like the Facebook equivalent, if we can use that analogy, to the beginning of the American Revolution. Everybody in the colony, they're getting together via these committees of correspondence, and they're saying, you know, we have more things in common against the motherland than we do against each other, even though there are all these great differences between Virginia and Massachusetts and Pennsylvania, those being the three biggest colonies, the most populous. We have a lot of things in common. So Jefferson makes an impact right there. And then, of course, and this is what you were talking about just a moment ago, he actually pens, he doesn't make it to their convention of 1774, and instead he writes the paper that, of course, had the first big impact in his life, and that is A Summary View of the Rights of British America. Now, they didn't—
And this is huge, because most people think that all he wrote was a Declaration of Independence.
No,
not true at all. His first big thing that really made his name—
That's right.
—was a document called A Summary View.
And we were talking about this off air. It's because of the name that he made for himself as the author of A Summary View of the Rights of British America that's very radical. In fact, it's so radical that the House of Burgesses, the Virginians, don't adopt it. But it gets published and it gets spread around. It's because of his fame as the author that he gets appointed to that Committee of Five to pen the Declaration of Independence.
In Philadelphia,
and then a man like John Adams, who certainly at the time had a much bigger name than Thomas Jefferson, turns to Jefferson and says, you know, you're pretty good with the pen, having read A Summary View.
That's what he was referencing, was
you
A Summary
write
View.
This
and
thing,
what was A Summary View then?
Well, it's an attack against Parliament. And what he does is he says that Parliament has no control and no power over what's happening in this colony in Virginia, and that the only attachment to the mother country is through the king, because they had sworn allegiance to the sovereign, to the king, but that Parliament didn't have the right to overtax them, one of the early problems.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the story that he puts in there. He says that England has no control over what's happening in Virginia, one of her colonies, any more than Germany or Scandinavia had control of what happened in England. In other words, those were the countries that settled England, right?
Right, right.
The Saxons, those are the countries that had settled England, and yet you don't see Germany or Scandinavia trying to say, well, you know, we're going to tax you in England. No, they'd established their rights as free people. And for the first time, and then we see this brought up again in the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson talks about about the rights as being derived from the laws of nature. Every man has that right that's a natural right derived from nature, a natural right. These rights aren't granted to him by Parliament. They're not granted by the king. And it's kind of interesting.
You're born with them. Yeah.
You're born with these rights. And what's interesting, too, is if you think about these two things one after another, Summary View, he denies the rights of Parliament. Then in the Declaration,
he denies the right of the king.
The right of the king. So by the time he gets through with both of these documents, there's no right that England has over Virginia.
Rick Britton, he's online at rickbritton.com, our continued series about the greatest hits of Thomas Jefferson. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you. Enjoyed
it. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.